Right, Jim, we'll start this interview now, and I'll ask you, would you like to tell me about your early life and where you were born and how you were brought up?
Well, I was born at Bringower Farm at Mosdale, and I was there, brought up there, and I left the school and I worked on the farm till I was 27, and my mother wanted to retire and brother wouldn't take it on along, so I had to give it up. And I got a job with McWilliams in Galloway, driving a lorry. And I was there for 35 years.
What kind of breed of animals did you work with, Jim? Was it always his Jim or James
Jim,
or
Jim
Kirkpatrick? Aye. What kind of breed of animals, can you mind, you started with
Tringower?
Ayrshires?
Small dairy Ayrshire cows.
Is that with horns?
Aye, one time. Aye.
What kind of time, when would that be, Jim?
Well, when I left the school. That would have been in the 40s.
Aye. And you milked them yourself, behind, obviously?
No, machine.
Oh, machine then?
With a machine, yes, with a machine milker.
Uh-huh.
And then with a few sheep and a few sucking kye.
Uh-huh. What breeds of sheep did you work with?
Black faces.
Aye.
Mostly.
Did you cross them?
Cross them.
With a different top?
Well, I bought the ladies, it was aboard the Leicester.
Aye. And they sold at?
Castle Douglas.
Wallets. Uh-huh.
Aye. Some of them were sold flat, some were sold stores.
Aye. And who, how did they get taken down in the early days?
McWilliams.
It was McWilliams. Aye. Mm-hmm. Can you mind any of the values of them in them days?
No,
that's all right.
No.
Uh-huh.
And then I done away with the sheep because they were herring the dairy cows' grass. And we done away with the sheep and the milk production rose considerably.
Aye. And where did your milk go then? And who collected it?
Hayton Coulter.
Aye.
Hayton Coulter collected the milk and it went to... Sometimes it went to Kirkcudbright, sometimes it went to the Carnation in Dovris.
Aye. Uh-huh.
Depending on how the flow of milk was going.
And what did you put your milk in to transport it?
10 gallon cans.
Aye.
And it had to be taken to the Rodin every morning.
Aye.
For 7:30.
Aye. Did you have any horse at Ringower at that time, working horse?
I can just remember them being there. I think there was just a couple at one time.
Aye. Uh-huh. And you mentioned you went to McWilliams after that to drive. Did you have to set a licence or did you just...
Yes, I had to go to Kilmarnock and set my heavy goods to get a licence to drive a lorry.
And can you mind your first lorry that you drove?
An Albion.
An Albion, aye. Uh-huh.
Drove it for about 3 years, and then I got another one, a bigger one.
Aye. And how many, can you remember how many cattle that you could carry in that, the Albion?
About 12 fat.
Aye.
But it was only 28 or 26 foot container.
Aye. And how far did you go with these original lorries?
It was FMC in the Fries.
Uh-huh.
A sheep went there too.
Uh-huh.
And then we started taking some to Dornock, the Weavers. And then Bigger started up and they started getting quite a lot of sheep. Because they sent a man round to draw them.
Aye.
And a lot of the farmers went with them.
Uh-huh.
Because they got them lifted direct off the farm.
Aye. So as the lorries got newer, the distances you travelled got further.
A wee bit, aye.
And what would the furthest you would be? I mean, you would drive when you were working full time.
Oh, well, with the livestock, we used to go as far as Perth.
Aye.
Carlisle. And no time to Penrith. Nobody open.
Uh-huh.
Ayr, Salcotes. Stirling.
Uh-huh. Aye. And what was your biggest local day at Wallets Marts? What were you busiest
The biggest day I ever had was at Crossdown Lamb Sale.
That was in August.
And we went out in the morning. I started at 5 o'clock at Ronald Smith's.
At Lowe's?
And I finished about 8 o'clock at night and shifted over 2,000 lambs.
Aye. And was that taken in, or you were taking some out to be sold as well?
Well, I had 500 lambs in the Wallet's Mass before 8 o'clock. And then I went away. I went up to Ayrshire. Had two drops of Ayrshire later on.
To take, deliver.
Deliver, farmers had bought.
And can you mind some of the places in the Glen Kens that you lifted lambs, across few lambs?
The Lowes, the Arby, the Hill, Youngson, Dodson, Hensel Farms, and that in the days, when they had across few lambs. And then in the latter years we had Walton Park.
So that was certainly your biggest sheep sale. What would be your biggest cattle sale at Wallet's, taken from around this area?
The biggest sale was the calf sale.
The suckle calf sale.
Suckle calf
in
sale
October.
One time,
That our local producers, and did you also take a lot to Newton Stewart for this area as well?
No, a lot. No. 1 year, I don't know what happened with Wallace, but Glen Lee sent about 60 or 70 calves to Newton Stewart and sold them there. But in these days, it was Glen Lee Farms was one of the biggest suckle herds, really.
And what restrictions, Jim, did you have in them days for driving? Was there any? Hours?
Well, we're supposed to be going away.
That was before modern technology.
In them days, there weren't the tachographs. You had a logbook. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not. But you just filled it in as the hours suited you. There's something sent for your records, but not very well.
No.
The only thing you had to watch if you're on the road and they see me, they could took a note of the registration of the lorry and send for the records. And if you'd been getting fiddling with me, they could find you that way. But they never bothered.
Generally, the job went well.
There was no problem.
And who were the characters in them? The early days, it was you came across in your job. Can you mind on it?
There was one or two of them quite.
Was the setup in the market quite a good setup when you went in?
It was then, in these days it was. It was well run.
Who would the managing director be at Wallet's in those days?
Well, when I started first, it was. I think Mr. Singer was still there. And then John Caskey. And then John Stewart for a wee while. And who was it? Robin Anderson came after John Stewart. But John Caskey was a very fair man. There was no nonsense.
No. And was there a lot of other competitors in at that time, more than there is today, like lorries, businesses, Holland Livestock?
No, there was no like what there is now.
There's more today.
You see, in these days, the cattle didn't far as travel, didn't travel as far. But there seemed to be more local buyers. And then it just started. The boys with Stirling started coming down, and the boys with Aberdeen started coming down, and they brought lorries, they brought their own transport down with them. A lot of the boys would be doing, there's quite a few for Aberdeen, were doing the road on a Sunday with pigs, and then come back to Castle Douglas on the Monday.
And took cattle back up.
Took cattle back up.
There'd be local slaughter.
You had Castle Douglas, FMC and the police. There was one at Newton Stewart. I think it was a wee one in Dalgety.
Lockerbie was it?
Lockerbie.
Aye, so generally livestock.
They were one of the kind of lower up to date slaughters.
Were they? Right.
When it was, because it was built this kind of modern time.
So livestock didn't necessarily have to travel a long way before they were processed into the food chain.
No, compared to what they do now. Like.
No.
Like we never heard tell that fat lambs are going to wait to Anglesey or. The farthest ever I took lambs was down to Thirsk in Yorkshire.
To a slaughterhouse?
It was through Thirsk Market. But they had the slaughterhouse. I think it was Hall that had it. But you just took the sheep down on a Sunday and put them on a farm. And then they transported them across the
And how have the breeds of cattle changed since you started Hollander? And what way do you find?
Well, you got your dairy cows are crossed with a beef shorthorn or a Hereford. That was the main breeds at one time. And then of course they've got the Continentals, Charolais, Limousins, Simmentals. And that changed the thing a lot. So it did.
And did you take dairy cattle for this area to the dairy sale at Wallets at one time?
Yes, used to take dairy cattle to Annan. Used to be a big cattle at Ayrshire, dairy breed sale at Annan every fortnight. Used to be a lot of cattle went there.
And of course a lot of these farms in the Glenkens would have some dairy cows. And
well, you see, at one time, Glenkens, every farm was a dairy one. Apart from maybe, the means of Kenya, they didn't hear it.
And they would decide to sell an odd heifer.
Well, what did
they do? In milk.
They bred the replacements.
They would sell them at Wallets.
They turned them out and took them to Wallets Market. The dealers were doing North England and far or even doing. Bought them.
You just took them down, you didn't deliver any back. And they would all have horns at that time?
To start with, and then latterly they were dehorned. The Ayrshire's cattle were dehorned. But I can mean the cows had, the Ayrshire cows, every dairy had horned cows. And then all of a sudden they got this idea that they'd horned them.
And Ayrshire, was that the predominant breed in the milking cows in this area?
That was about the main
cows. Black and white didn't come into it so much.
No, it would. The odd black and white as we come in, but believe it or not, we're black and white Ayrshire.
Aye, black legs. And how have you found the sheep breeds have changed in the years that you've been?
Big lot.
Right. And what way, Jim?
Well, when we started first, the majority of the lambs we took to the market were, well, there was odd people had cross used with Suffolk. That was quite the main breed. But the majority of them were black faced ewes, where in the 80s it was born of Leicester tubs. Black faced tubs. And then, of course, folks started breeding mule ewes and they were getting more different breeds.
And where did the border Leicester tip come from in those days? Where did they buy them?
Lockerbie.
So it's still the predominant place for.
There was odd folk bred Border Leicesters and seldom CD, but the majority of them. Because it was the main centre for the big half bred ewe lambs. North Country Cheviots, Border Leicester.
In them days, Texels, Beltexes, Charolais, Dunherda.
Well, to start with. And then the first kind of continental breeding in Texas, Texels.
And you've seen a lot of changes in the farms lost and the Glen Kennings is so near to afforestation, Tim. You would know all about these farms before they were planted.
There's like in Ireland, we hauled all his sheep. We got his sheep to the market, took his sheep to the winter, took his to send his new lambs to Ayrshire.
Was that up Black Craig? Up, did that cover?
He didn't go in as far as Black Craig. If you go up the Newtonshire Road, just where the Black Craig starts, where the dike comes down, that's Ireland Fair, right down to the farm.
Aye. And Black Craig and their hour, that was another outfit.
We were on Flatton Shores.
Aye.
I don't think we did it.
No.
We used to do Craig and Bay. Glenlee Farm for that at one time.
Aye. And Clatton Shores, was it a productive unit before? Was it,
it was using lambs.
When you first.
Aye. But I don't know what time it was.
So these places out about Barneywater and. Barneywater, Waxedy and that, they were all productive hill farms.
Slagheri were all hill farms.
And up the Money Ive Road, you remind?
Homehead. Burmar, Arthur Holland used to hay.
Blackmart.
We used to hay. He sold all his lands at Lockerbie in one day. He used to have three lorry loads in one day.
That's quite a trip.
Down to Lockerbie. He just brought them in, spayed them, put them in the lorries in the morning, and that was him. That was him for the year.
The whole lot.
He bought odd wee pickles of cattle, but very few. But we had Craig Moy.
So did he have any? He'd also take a lot of the traditional breeds to the Galloways and that.
At one time, we would spend 2 days hauling Galloways in Galloways.
2 days alone hauling in?
Just hauling them in.
And that when 2 days prior to the sale?
We started on the Monday. Well, I think it was one lot used to get in on Sunday. But we had Carnaval, Lumbrack, Bridgemark, Todson, Hernick. We had up the Money Isle Road with Castle Ferns, Craig Moy, Craig and Puttock, McGalloway's, Mayfield Twine and McGalloway's, and where else did we have?
So you'd be taking in the majority of the Galloway's for that sale in the
middle.
And where did they go? Did you take many away?
Odd pickles used to go.
Because there'd be no Germany in those days. That's before the export market was opened up.
They were coming before I finished.
Originally, though,
it was all local.
Oh, I don't
know.
But
the Germans started coming.
And then, of course, you did haul a lot of that other traditional crossbreed, the Blue Grey, which was the Cumberland Shorthorn Bull over there. Where did you take them from, Jim, to?
Mr. Ayres Smith at Drumhumphrey. He had two lorry loads to Newcastle every year.
That's quite a trip in those days, originally.
I've seen it with two load back.
Into this South Scotland.
Well, Mr. McCall and Craig and Puttock used to buy, and after that, they were Ayrshire. We went up to the Brocklock at New Cumnock, and there was a bit at Strait, and we used to take them to.
So how many would you take every year off of it? Was there just the one sale at New Castleton for?
Well, just the one sale that we went.
That you attended.
And then in latter years, Robert Weir at Toonfoot, he had a big herd of Blue Grey cows. And One year he bought a wagon load and a trailer load of heifers.
That's awesome. And how reliable were your lorries in the early days, Jim?
Oh, they weren't bad.
They're good, dependable. Aye.
They weren't very fast. When
you no.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to break down loaded with cattle. Or...
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
I never had, touch wood, I never had one. But,
aye.
You just couldn't, you weren't getting the same quantities on Roman King.
No.
That's the like of the Grandford from Humphrey. I mean...
How long did it take you to get to Newcastleton, Trey?
2 hours.
Trey Drumhumphrey, say?
It's not a good road, Trey. Come on, maybe.
No. And then, of course, you also had... You hauled a lot of other things out from... A lot of feeding from...
I did enough of feeding for babies.
Aye, that was in Castle Douglas. Aye.
I did... On Monday, I did the borders.
The borders, that's...
Hoyt.
As far away as...
Aye.
Right.
Used to be, there was a, you never had any more than about 5 farms. You always had about 15 and a half ton.
Uh-huh.
And delivered it, and then he went on to Longmouthby, where the big mill was.
Uh-huh.
And he brought 15 ton back to the store at Castle Douglas.
That was him, to make up.
Aye.
Aye, he bought straight up.
And then he emptied that, and he loaded it up for Wigtonshire.
And this, these would be 100 weight bags?
Half 100 weight bags. Oh, some of them, but the audience were 100 weight.
Uh-huh.
But they loaded me up on the Monday night, and that when he started at Newton Stewart, and he went down the way, Port William, Kirkcowan, right round, finished up, he'd finish up maybe about New Loose.
Uh-huh.
And there was one, the first day of the month that we were there, we had to go to Drumore with about 3 or 4 ton of meat pulp for the man.
For the same customer,
And then on a, we never made air on a Tuesday. We used to go to air for fertiliser, but we never made air on a Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Straight back to Castle Douglas, loaded again for Money Eye, Dunscar, Olgar, up as far as Durrish Deer, and up that way, halfway to Sampa. Then you're on right up the road to here for a load of manure.
So you'd a lot of work out of Castle Douglas alone, out of babies. Aye, in those days, how many men would babies be employed in those days?
There was 2 fellas in the mill, maybe 3 in the mill. There was one storeman, Norrie Anderson, was storeman. And in the office, Henry McTeer was the transfer manager at one time. And then Rob Darby took over with him. And they had 3, that's when they started putting bulk feeding in. They had 3 bulkers. They delivered the cake and empty bins and that.
Aye.
But I could be at Bibby's. I never, very seldom there on a Thursday, but Thursday was what they call the Glen Kens room. That was up
in here. Every day you were, you knew basically where you were going, aye.
It was Glen Kens room. It was a weird kind of running.
Weird drops, was it?
No, as much, no as many, well, weird quantities. Some days you got lucky to get 10 ton up in here.
Aye, weird farms, less.
Weird hill farms.
Aye,
So Derek, we opened it to sell. And I went, the days I was there, I went to here, and I did 2 loads of manure, sometimes 3, if I got up in the morning and I wanted a local load, maybe just to make more or something, but fire it out, back in, and the 2 loads doing this way. And then, a Thursday night, back in to Bibby's, and load, and I would start at Newton Stewart, Sheriff Smith's. And get right up to Worry, right to Coleman Hill, and finish up, I used to finish up between Girvan and Ballantrae, and back into here on a Friday afternoon, get loaded for a Saturday morning.
A lot of that land you just mentioned there is now under the tree, planted.
But I'll tell you something, I worked far harder as the Worry worked.
That'd be right.
I've seen me going out with 15 ton, and maybe emptying about 12 at myself.
Aye.
Some of them used to come and meet you, but some of them, when they see you come and run the other way, through the road. No, but that was it.
Aye.
And then in the spring, the springtime, it was fertiliser.
Aye. Seed barley, seed oats?
We used to go to Haddington for seed barley and Pennycook. Uh-huh. There was a beef firm in Pennycook that seed barley and wheat and stuff.
Uh-huh.
We did it.
Aye.
And then in the spring, of course, the spring, that's when the winter and sheep come home for the...
Aye, that'd be a big part of your job.
That was a big job.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And it was, well, you take it out of the hill farms up, because we had took sheep to winter.
Uh-huh, aye. And still going to the same areas the day that they did then. Aye, uh-huh.
Well, a lot of them, more or less just booked the winter and re-left the sheep in the spring and booked it for the next.
Uh-huh. Aye.
You knew wherever the sheep was going.
So you two shifts at them, you're taking them away to the winter and then you need to go to the winter to bring them back.
And you see, the thing is, it happened when the manure was on the go, was it?
Busy time. And in the early days, I forgot to ask you earlier, did you ever take any pigs down locally to Wallet, did you?
No, well, not so much to Wallet.
No.
But we had a job with McClue Farms. And they had a big piggery. And they had about 100 fat pigs a week.
A week.
To slave in.
Uh-huh.
And where else did they go?
How did you find the pigs to work with them?
Oh, buggers.
and what way were they?
Oh, awkward.
Uh-huh.
And see if you're loading them onto the lorry and they turned. It didn't matter when the folk you had behind the gate pushing. If they took the notion to come out, you had to shift. They weren't easy
working. Aye. And calves, did you ever take many calves?
No, never.
That was never
a pain,
yeah.
It was never
aye.
Big.
Uh-huh.
No, the pigs, they went to Straven and then the Ardrossan.
Uh-huh.
In fact, the bacon that comes to Barnmacleod comes to Ardrossan.
Uh-huh. To this day?
As far as I know.
So, and then, of course, retirement came along.
Mm-hmm.
When was that, Jim? What year did you retire? Can you remember that?
Well, it's 15 years this year.
Uh-huh.
That would be about 65.
Uh-huh.
You know. 15
2006
years. 15 years on the end of this month. I'll finish in the last day of July.
Aye, okay.
Because I had the Fortnite's holidays just taken.
And that was you. Right. And then, of course, what was your involvement initially with Barnmacleod Village Hall? Had you attended functions before you actually started?
Oh, I used to go to other things, but then we started.
What things did you attend before you became involved in it, Jim? Just in a casual dances, was it?
Well, dances.
Uh-huh.
There's sometimes an odd concert.
Uh-huh.
Went yet, but...
What was the concert then? Was it, who'd run that? Was it a drama club or was...
I think it was a drama club. Uh-huh. Something to do with
that local folk. It was
that local life.
Uh-huh. And dances and that.
And then we started, my wife and I started the dances.
Uh-huh.
Well, you see, the first dance we held it for leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
It was Gordon Clendinnan in Galway.
Your local butcher.
Ah, well.
And mechanic.
Aye. He had leukemia.
Uh-huh.
And we organised a dance for that.
So you decided there'd be nobody else was organising dances at that time, was there? Just...
And we were to,
so you and Ethel, your wife, decided to do this for charity?
A kind of committee to set up.
Uh-huh.
And we made £850 And the man that used to be in Bogle now,
uh-huh.
he gave us another £150 and made it up to 1,000.
Aye.
When that was for one function. Uh-huh. And after that, we had two dances a year.
Uh-huh.
One in the spring, kind of after the Lamington, and one after the kind of busy July in the back end.
For leukemia?
No, they were just for...
Oh, aye. This was a one-off.
They were
aye.
They were up aye. At 40, funds for the Hawk Fund.
So you and Ethel got it started up, and then you managed to pull in some volunteers.
Well, Neil and Lee stayed across the road. They come in.
The Cawthorns.
Aye. Sandra Dempster. Duke Carson. The late Duke Carson. He helped. And
was it initially just dances at that time?
Just dances. They were the kind of the old time dances. And they were either good at the time, but you see, people just started, weren't fit to come, but they'd die.
They were, how far and wide did they come for it to attend?
Here.
Bar McLellan, Jim.
Glasgow.
Glasgow.
There was a couple landed one night, and everybody was asking me, because
everybody knew everybody else these days.
And I can't remember where they sat in a sign. And this, when they asked him, where did he come? Oh, he just went to Glasgow. And he said, oh, Tapper's fine.
And how did they know, Jim? Is this through a friend that was doing?
I don't know how they got to know. Well, that was the farthest you took again. And there was a couple that used to come from Ayrshire regular, a Mr. and Mrs. Kerr. He was a retired farmer. And he had three daughters, and they had good jobs, and they just threw up the farm. He wasn't retired in age, like. Bar Hill. A couple used to go to Bar Hill. There used to be a couple come to Port Patrick. Annan. Lockerbie. Money Ive. There's a couple used to come, I think, come to Sandra.
Kirkcowan.
Oh, and a lot.
For a wee bit.
At one time, there was a fella in Newton Stewart, Donald Baxter. He used to phone me up. I see you're having a dance. He better keep his about 12 tickets. And that's what he could bring.
12 for Newton Stewart. Aye, so there's quite a draw at you in time
to
Bar McLellan. For a wee place like Bar McLellan,
And you see, I don't know why, but a lot of them said it was one of the best wee halls to dance in, wasn't it?
Is that right?
Aye.
Would that be the sound or the floor?
The sound and the floor.
And the band in those days, who was it?
Molly McRobert and John Douglas and Ian McRobert. But they went as, well, the two or three different names.
Aye, of course you were in the forefront for the other things. Were you involved in the badminton at the time, Jim, when it was on?
It was fading away. David and Andrew and them, they went for a while.
But your involvement was mainly started at the dances. Now, of course, you progressed onto other things. With the rest of the committee.
Burnt suppers.
How did you find the burnt suppers, Jim? How many of those did you?
A lot of work.
Was that a big draw round about?
They come quite the distance and all. Dances. Burnt suppers. I think we stuck to the quiz nights in Harrowman.
Latterly, you were heavily involved in quizzes.
Quizzes and.
Yeah, because you attended, along with members of the. The Wild Bunch,
The Wild Bunch.
It was.
An understatement.
They were enjoyable times. They didn't realise this so much.
They were good times. It was a better time as the end that was on before them, anyway. They were a bloody.
But you found it very enjoyable, and
we enjoyed everything.
And Ethel was a big help.
She really took it seriously.
But enjoyed it to the hilt.
She was very strict about keeping the books. Everything had to be accounted for. She had a big book with what went out, what was spent, going out, what was brought in, and expenditure. It was all detailed. And I'll tell you something, that book got lost. I don't know where it went.
Aye. So you've continued right up to this present day, this previous Saturday with the barbecue, and you've been involved in barbecues and also the fireworks night as well, which you were heavily involved in.
It was a big night.
It was.
A lot of money made at that.
And we used to have, of course, there was bars. You had to, you were in charge of getting the license and serving as well.
Yes, I had to. I was put in charge of getting the license. I must admit, I had no bother getting the license.
They
never questioned me.
So you've seen Balmaclean Village Hall right through the. From the glory days, and I suppose it's nice to see it being started used again. You've started it off and kept it going.
But it's just a pity we couldn't get more kind of money to help run it.
You mean local money from the
which I think we should have been getting.
The wind farm now, the Black Crane. That's right. Well,
that was.
So you've seen both sides of it.
Well,
that's grand, then, Jim. Well, thank you very much, and we'll end the interview with that. Thanks, Jim.
Mine is what you told us. No, it's just.